think a little bit about the word resolve. We have a song in our book, number 223, says, "I mean to go right on." And meaning to do something don't cause it to happen. The older I get, the more I realize that our accomplishments is in the Lord. And it's not by our own abilities. I can mean to take off running and jump over that altar. That won't keep me from stubbing my nose on the other side of it, just because I mean to. But I won't be able to jump it if I don't mean to. That's the way it is with living for the Lord. If you don't mean you can because you think it, but you won't accomplish it if you don't mean to. It takes a mean to, and the success we have has to do with God meeting us at our wants and our desires. And God will meet us at our wants and desires. When our desires please Him, He'll give us the desires of our heart. When we want to accomplish it, when we want righteousness in our lives, when we want to be successful in living for the Lord, He can make that happen. But just meaning to do it won't cause it. But meaning to do it with His help will cause it. We say, "I mean to go right on, and by His grace, I will." But just meaning to won't cause it to happen. If you can't get a part of God's grace, you ain't going to make it no matter what you mean to start with. I find that most everybody's pretty fickle when it comes to things. You can really be in a good camp meeting or revival meeting and get the feeling like you just would do anything, and all of a sudden that preacher's preaching on people that sacrificed their very lives, and you just about to jump up and say, "Woo, me too." But tomorrow, when the real battle comes, you don't feel that way. "I mean to last night, but I don't mean to today." Well, what we need to have in is the Lord to help us in what we mean to do. Well, I do mean to go right on. I want to see what the end of this is. But I know I'm going to need the Lord to help me to be able to accomplish it. Now, the word resolve is an interesting word. To me, I like to look at the roots of a word, see where the root word come from. The word resolve kind of means to melt down or to get to a simple element. It has to do with making something complex simple, bringing it down till there's no other influence on it. So the idea of being resolved about something generally means that it means I'm fixed, I'm determined, but I'm gonna have to move out of my life all the other influences that would cause me to do something else. Getting it down into the sense that this is it. There's nothing else that plays on this. When I can do that in my life with the Lord's help, when I can get to it, I'm resolved to do it. Don't mean I can do it, but I'm going to tell you, God's going to meet you at your resolutions. When you get down to your resolve, this is what I aim to do. I aim to live for the Lord no matter what. The other influences in, I'm bowled down if you want, would, or I am melted down. I'm going to get this down to a single purpose, a single idea, that no matter what else comes into my life, no matter what influences that there may be, I've got it down that I'm going to live for the Lord. Well, we all need to do that, folks. We all need to take care, Brother Ivan preached last night about keeping your heart. That means keeping it in a singular idea towards the Lord, because we will face a lot of things in life that you may not even have it in your life right now, but next week you might, or the year is coming you might, and things that might challenge that single purpose that you have. You're going to have to be resolved that nothing is going to hinder me from my walk in the Lord. No matter what it is that comes into my life, I'm going to have a single, if you don't have a single purpose or a resolve down to a purpose that my heart's fixed, my mind's fixed, I'm not going to let the other influences and things happening that may happen, I'm not going to allow them to affect the way I live. I'm going to live for the Lord anyway. So I want to look at a scripture, very, very familiar scripture, in, I think it's Daniel, third chapter of Daniel. Oh, let me see where I want to pick this up at. Maybe 14th verse. It says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Well, I don't know about you, but if I could kind of relate to this, I like to try to put myself into a situation so I can relate to something or put myself into a place to where I can actually feel or have something that happened in my life somewhere or some incident that I can kind of feel what these people must have felt being in that situation. Now, they're not just dealing with just anybody here now. They're dealing with the one that holds their life, basically. What happens? It's the king. He can order whatever he wants to order. There is a king of kings that rules in kings, but this king ruled here. And now he's asking these three underlings, why are you acting the way you're acting? Why are you disrespecting me? Why are you not worshiping the gods that I set up? You know what the rule was. I proclaim this everywhere that when the sound of the music starts, that everybody's going to bow down and worship this. This is what I've decreed to be so. Why would you do something like that? Now there's three young men there that's got to face this situation. They didn't go into this, folks, blind. They knew when they saw the decree, Do you know what I mean? If you've ever been into that kind of place before, you know what this person's about to say to you. Kind of situation. Well, never faced nothing like that, but I faced some things in religious ideas so people would want to know, why would you do that, or why are you standing against this, or why won't you do that when everybody else is doing it? Why won't you do it? So I feel the feelings there. I know what the idea is that they must have been, it wasn't a pleasant thing. Folks, I believe these three young men way settled this a long time before this event. That they had resolve. They had taken all the influences out of their life. This is not this King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, the influences of the civilization around them, their culture, everything that tried to mix in and take away their passion for the Lord and their desire for the Lord, they erased it. They melted it down. They got back down to the simplicity of I'm worshiping God and God alone. And I'm going to stand for that. I'm going to worship God and God alone. It's all I'm going to do, and it does not matter what else happens. I think at this point they said, if I have to die to hold this, I will die. It makes you bold when you can get to that place. When you can honestly say, I'm going to worship the Lord no matter what our society does. I'm going to worship the Lord no matter what everybody else around does. I'm going to worship the Lord when somebody stands up and says there is no God. There ain't no God. People that serve God are just using need a crutch, and people that worship God just need something. There ain't no God, and they're all a bunch of old-fashioned fools. And right when he gets through, I'm going to bow my head and thank the Lord for my food. Because I'm already resolved this thing. I don't believe that. That's not the way I want to live. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true? that you are not going to worship my God, our gods that we set up. Is it true? Yes, it's true. Now, if ye be ready, that what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto him, O King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They had a real resolve. These are young men. Part of what needs to melted down or taken away to get this down into the simple element of resolve, that get it down to the simple one, not complex any longer. Don't have to fight with this any longer. It has to be done to say, what am I going to do? How am I going to respond? I'm a young man. It hurts me to think that I can be taken out of this life young. That I don't get to have a family. I'll never get to experience a lot of things in life. As a young man, I'm not. If I go through with this, I may give up all these things that would be that I would want to do. I may have some desires. I want to go somewhere. I want to see what the shores of Alaska look like. I want to be able to go moose hunting. I want to be able to go catch a fish or do something that I've never experienced and I want to do it before I die. That's part of the things, folks, that's natural. Nothing wrong with it. It's going to have to melt away to this idea of I've got resolve. So be it. If it doesn't never happen, it doesn't matter. It's melted away in my mind. I'm going to serve God anyhow. Heaven's going to be worth it all, folks. I'm going to have some resolve in my life about what it means to serve the Lord. They come up to that point as young men. God had helped them before. The question, what a question. Who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? You were about to find out. Folks, we need some resolve in our lives. We don't see God. I believe that we don't see a lot of the works of the Lord because God is going to meet us at our resolve. He's going to meet us when we get down to the singleness of purpose. When we get down to the singleness of mind, that's where God's going to come and show Himself God. Right there in those kind of places. Many times we don't get there and we compromise that and we don't get down to any kind of resolution. I'm not going to stand against any kind of pressure of the world. I'll just kind of melt into it. I'm not going to look different, sound different, act different. I'll do just enough to be religious and I'm going to do enough that the world don't notice me so much. Folks, that ain't much resolve. The resolve is when you say, I'm willing to be different. Boy, that's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes to say, I'm willing to be different than the people that are around me. I'm different when everybody's around and everybody, I wonder how many people really would like to be different or want to be different but they're not willing to really say it or do it or anything. But Lord, help us. We went up to D.C. one time and we was singing songs out there up on the, there was a big bunch of us. They was singing and kind of handing out tracts and stuff. And just now I was looking at the crowd. There was a pretty good crowd gathering around listening to the singing and people just coming by. And just now I looked and there was a couple of us standing out in the crowd looking over towards us like they was wondering what was going on. And they went up there with us. And I thought, what? You're on the wrong side. You're on the wrong side. Get on this side of the battle. We'll stay out there on that side of the battle. Well, what's going on in there? We're standing over there like it wasn't. What are you doing over there? Just seeing what it looks like, what it feels like. Get over here. Get over here. Show everybody this different. We're up here for a purpose and a reason. Lord, help us to have some resolve in our life, some determination, some dedication. I mean it. I mean to do it. Got to whittle down to this is the only thing I really mean. Folks, there's a lot of things in my life, and I enjoy life. I like to hunt, I like to fish, I like to enjoy God's world. We travel, we look at things, we live life, but all of that is nothing compared to living this thing out to the end. To have some resolve in my life about that God's going to be there. All this other stuff that doesn't mean anything. It comes, it goes. You enjoy it for the moment, it flees away. You put your heart on things that never pan out, never works for you. Disappointments all the way around if you put your heart in these things. It goes away and disappointed. I had a guy up there one time tell me, he was disappointed. He was so disappointed. A big old buck. We was hunting up there, and he was up in this kind of low gap in the mountain, and he looked, and here come this big old buck. He said it was antlers, and it walked up there, and he told me, he said, "Marty, do you ever daydream about deer hunting?" "Oh yeah." "What's your daydream like?" "Oh," he said, "Marty, this was like a daydream. This is the way you sit and daydream. You're sitting there and you're thinking, man, a big buck walks around there and I got a chance to get my big deer." And he said, "This was a daydream. It happened just that way." And here he come up there and went broadsided and looked and said the daydream was completely fulfilled. And I missed him. I missed him. Dead center. I just missed him, and he was right there in front of me. And he was so disappointed. He said, "That will never happen again like that. All my life, this is what you do. You get something done. But this was this gigantic big buck. This was the daydream, and I missed him." He was so disappointed. And you will be in life sometimes with things like that. And the more you put your heart on those kind of things, the more you're going to be disappointed by it. It's just disappointed. Every week in the sports arena, people are crying, so disappointed, because not both teams are going to win. Only one's going to win. And somebody's going to jump up and shout, and somebody's going to hang their head and cry. Well, not everybody's that much into it, but I'll challenge you. You get that much into it, and you will. You'll be disappointed by it. That's why it needs to be whittled down to one that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. This is what means something. This is the eternal side of it. King, they said, not even careful to answer you about this. I'm not going to mix words about this. We're not going to try to tiptoe around this. I'm not careful about it. My resolve is too strong. I've got this down to one thing. Your influence, King, your God's influence, all these people around here looking on, your magistrates, the guys that stand at the gate with the spears, the guy that's got the axe, the one that's stoking the fire, that furnace is burning hot. I can feel the heat from here. It still doesn't have any influence on me. I'm down to a single-minded purpose. That doesn't mean anything. You see the smoke? Don't scare me. I've seen the smoke. I've seen it burn before. I knew when you built the furnace. I know the furnace is there. I can feel the heat of it. I see the men soaking it. I see it burning. That none of those makes any difference in my answering this question. It doesn't matter. I'm not careful about the influences that are pushing in on me all the time. We have a world, folks, that pushes its influence on us all the time. Pushing us to be something, to act something, to be a certain way. We got to be able to have some resolve to get this down, melt those things away, melt it all down to a very single element. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. When you get to that point, the Lord's going to be there to make sure you do serve Him. And when you say, "I can't jump that far," the Lord will say, "You run and I'll help you to get over it." Amen. You can be able to go over the wall. You can run through the storm. You can run through the water. You can be able to accomplish when you don't think you ever can accomplish. Because God will be there to meet us at that kind of a place. And you'll never do it if you don't mean to do it. It takes some resolve to say, "I don't care any longer what people think. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to serve the Lord in the way I can. They answered and said, O king, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm reading that wrong. Said to king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, well, what does that mean? They said, our God's able to deliver us out of this. And he will. But if not, well, you know what? A lot of times we wrass around with faith like as if in faith is a sentence. I got to have faith. I got to believe. I got to believe. So I grit my teeth. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I'm trying to talk myself into it. That's the way we do it. That's not really faith. That's not faith. That's what not what faith is like. Faith is the confidence that we've built up that God is God. That's faith. I believe God. And God is able to do this. And I believe that He will. That's what they're saying. And God will do this. But I'm human. I don't always get it right. And to know God's heart and mind is a pretty big thing for us. His ways are above our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. As far as the heaven is above the earth, His ways are higher than our ways. How can I know what He's thinking and what He's going to do and all the things that He can allow in life? How do I know totally what He wants to work on me with? I don't know. I know I need Him to want to work on me. I know I need to work, but I don't know how He's going to do it and what He's going to do. So I'm here saying the Lord's able to deliver me and He's going to do it. But I don't always know the will of the Lord, but if He don't, I don't know about Him delivering me. But I know it don't please Him for me to worship other gods. So I'm not working with what I don't know, I'm working with what I do. And I know this, I'm not worshiping that God. Listen, this must have been, I don't understand why a king that felt like he was all powerful gets upset at this, because these guys just said you're not. That what they said was, oh king, you're king, but you can make a lot happen to me, but you can't change my mind. You can't make me do something like, you can't make me serve other gods. Folks, listen, the devil wants to do that to us and make us feel like he's got power to make us do things, and he don't have that power. And we'll threaten you by your own life and we'll make you feel different or do something different with the Lord. No, you won't. You can't do it. This has whittled down to one thing with me. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to serve Him all my life faithfully. I'm going to serve God and let everything else fall into me serving God. I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. The influences and the things that come in my life, if I get a good job and make a lot of money, it's for the Lord. If I don't have it and don't have anything, it's for the Lord. If I become something, it's for the Lord. And if I don't, it's for the Lord. Everything's for the Lord. That's why I'm doing it. Got it down to this one idea that I'm going to serve the Lord. We're not going to serve your God. So I don't know what the Lord may do. I may be wrong in my testimony to tell you that God's going to deliver me out of this. And I may say to you, you may say, well, Brother Mike, what's wrong with you? Well, I ain't been feeling well. Well, I'll tell you this, I think the Lord's going to take care of that for me. But if He don't, I'm going to serve the Lord anyway. All right? I'm going to serve the Lord if He doesn't do that. Because He's God and He knows best. And I would rather give my confidence in the God to do what's in my life. I scare me, folks. I scare me trying to live for the Lord. I scare me in the way I think about things. I scare me in what I'd want into my life. And I have to say, well, I'll tell you what I want in my life. I want sunny days, and I want to be the guy that always gets the buck and catches my limit with fish. I'm the guy that everything will. I want it all to go right. That's why I would say, Lord, I'd rather You lead me than me. Because if my salvation is dependent on something else, I wouldn't choose it. But I want You to do what is right for me. because He's a faithful God. It's got to be whittled down to that one purpose. I believe in the Lord. I believe that you're able to do that. So they say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And I imagine his visage changed. I imagine it did. Because here was in my mind, Nebuchadnezzar. He probably sees these guys around, had a little bit of experience. Well, I imagine, kind of like those guys. Impressive young guys. They've been impressive, like having around here. Then he gets the word, hey, some of these Chaldeans said, hey, they didn't worship the God. They didn't bow down. What? Well, I better give him another chance. He was feeling compassionate. He was feeling like he didn't want to destroy these good young men. So in his heart, he's just a good guy. And he's going to give them a chance. Now, I'm going to give you a chance. You didn't do it before, so I'm going to give you another chance. That's the way wrong always is. You miss your opportunity to do wrong, it'll come back around. The devil will make sure you get another opportunity to do it. He'll make sure that you get another chance. You didn't worship that time, we'll give you another chance to worship. So Nebuchadnezzar, well, I'll give you another chance to do it. And so we're going to play it again for you, give you another opportunity to it. And what it must have felt like for them to say, look at him right there in the eye and say, we're not worshiping your God. Not second chance, third chances, 10 chances or 20. We ain't worshiping your God. It doesn't matter if you say you were going to be thrown in the furnace or your eyebrows are going to be plucked out or you're going to be tortured or whatever. It doesn't matter. We've resolved it. Everything has melted away. All the influences that made me something else has melted away out of my life. It's not going to happen. I am going to serve the Lord. I hope today that you've made that kind of resolve. Now listen, I haven't done this thing perfectly. Been living for the Lord since 86 and haven't done it all right. I had a lot of problems, difficulties. But I mean to go right on. I got some resolve that none of these things, you know what, if you're not careful, you can let failures be that influencing thing in your life. You can say, I haven't been able to be successful, so there's no reason to try. You can let that influence, let that melt away too. Amen. That's what Paul did. Because Paul said, forgetting those things, what was he forgetting? Was he forgetting the persecutions and the failures and all the things that he had done? Forgetting those things behind and where I was less than godly and where I had it wrong and it messes with my mind that I was wrong and I hurt people and all those kind of things. But he said, forgetting those things which are behind. But pressing towards the things that are before, I'm going to go on. I'm going to go for that prize, that mark that I got set out there, the prize of the high calling. I'll erase it all away. Let it melt down to a singleness of purpose. You want to live for the Lord? You want to be successful? Only one way to do it. And that's the singleness of purpose. I mean to go right on. I aim to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. No matter what happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's how these people were successful. Now, I won't turn over there, but we know another one that had great resolve in his life. And things came and it was challenges that come along. And no matter what the challenges were, there was a man named Daniel. Same book, but named Daniel. And had the occasion that he needed to be tested on his resolve too. How much do you really mean what you're doing? And it said Daniel, 3 times a day, would swing his window open and he would pray towards Jerusalem. He would pray, he'd throw his windows open and he would pray. 3 times a day he prayed. And went on pretty good. God had blessed him to be a man of high integrity. He was a man of high honor. They didn't know how to say it, but the expression was that the spirits of the gods was in him. He had a disposition about him. He had a way about him. And nobody could gainsay his spirit and his way. And he was an honorable person and he was highly, highly thought of. And then there was a decree made through a sneaking thing. You know the story.
that you couldn't pray to God or man for 30 days except the king. And they done it to try to get Daniel. Daniel knew that. Daniel knew what they was doing. He could have prayed silently, left the windows cracked. Could do all kinds of things like that. Folks, I think Daniel had melted it down to a resolve to serve God, a God that's able, a God that can take care of things. I don't need to hide when I got a God like this. Got it resolved down. They make the decree, and I love this scripture. It said, and Daniel went and opened his window and prayed just like afore. He did it like that yesterday. He's doing it like that today, and he's going to do it tomorrow. He's going to keep doing it, and he's going to keep doing it because there was pressure. There was influence come. But he kept it down to the singleness of it. He didn't allow that influence to be what made it a complex matter. Now listen, I've heard this saying, I've talked with people about this, that put the virtue of questioning. You ever hear that? The virtue of questioning. I've heard it a lot. That there is a virtue in questioning. There is, in a sense, if you want to know. Actually, the way to find out something you don't know is to ask a question or be questioning. But there's no virtue in the question itself. It's in the getting the answers. That you got to want to get the answer. The questioning can go on, and you can be a real good question, and what you end up being is an antagonist. What you end up being is a thorn. That I told one guy one time, he said something about the questioning all the time, and he said, you don't think it's good to question? I said, you've been doing it for years. When are you going to get the answers? When are you going to end up quit asking the same question over and over and questioning? God got some answers. The virtue is getting the answer. Getting the answers of it. Folks, we ought to be questioning. Don't believe everything. Be questioning. God wants you to be genuine and have it in your own heart for your own self. Resolve for your own self. Ask the question with the idea of getting an answer and getting it down till it's not on a question ends up being a conviction. The conclusion of the question is a conviction. I am assured, resolved. I've got this down that the Lord told me this, performed this in my life, and now when you come along and challenge it, you'll not move it. When the government tries to move it, they can't move it. Old devil comes and twists around on it, he can't move it. Because it's something that's answered by the Lord, and it gets down into a singleness. Questions end up needing to be come down to a very simple and not complex. Questions are complex. The nature of it is complex. You don't know. It could be this. It could be this. It could be this. What is the answer to this? And when it gets down to the very simplicity of it, this is the answer. I don't know the ifs and I don't have to know of the complex mysteries of the universe to know that God don't want me to worship false gods. That's just about as simple as I can get it down to. So I aim to serve the Lord. And when you come by and start into the mysteries of all those kind of things, I may say, I don't know. I don't know. I ain't deep enough to answer all those technical questions. I don't need to. I just know that God is God. And that's what I need to know. So Lord, help us that we would get our resolve. There's another scripture in old 2 Samuel to give us some determination. 2 Samuel 23, I think. Oh, let me see. Let's see, about the ninth. Ninth verse talks about David's three mighty men. Tenth verse, he rose and smote the Philistine until his hand. This was one of the mighty men. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto his sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Here was a man that his determination
to fight was so incredible. I have always marveled and admired these people that are willing to give their life, literally, for their cause. Now, I don't agree with their cause most of the time. Maybe none of the time. I don't agree with the cause, but I can't help from admiring somebody that can resolve themselves to something so directly, so purposefully, that they are willing to say, I will sacrifice all that my life could be, all that I ever wanted to do or every dream that I ever dreamed, that I can give it down into a cause that I believe in more than them all. That always amazed me that they could do it, and I've struggled with the idea of that there's people doing it. Even the terrorists of 9/11 were terribly wrong and evil, and it was very wicked. But the fact that they, young men, had so believed in something that they brought their resolve down, they had fine-tuned their resolve down to only one thing mattered, and that was pleasing their God that they believed in. They thought that's what they were doing, and I think it's hideous and wrong, and want to state it that way, but you can't already help admiring that a guy could get to that point and say, I'm going to give it all for that. Because the truth of it is that the cause of Christ is that important. And eternity is that important. That we would, I'm not talking, never evil, never wrong, but that we would believe so strongly that we could give ourselves to the Lord is very biblical. Lord, help us to be able to do it. This man was able to fight. He cleaved to his sword. Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address of the men that he talked about that they had gave their last great measure of devotion. That to me was such an admirable thing that these men, hardly in their just in their teens, many of them, and very young men that had marched out there and give themselves for a cause that they hardly didn't even know or that they couldn't probably express, but they gave the last measure of devotion in the fact that they went out there knowing that it was very likely that they could be, if not died, that they at least could be maimed for life or alter their life, and they all did it most willingly to go and do it to establish a truth that they believed in, and they gave their life for it, many of them did. And Abraham Lincoln expressed it that way. How can you give any more? They gave the last measure of their devotion. It was all that you can do. You can't give no more than your life, your fullness of it. You can't give no more than that. I don't think a country's, I ain't so sure a country's really, I'm glad for those that did it, but I ain't so sure a country's really worthy of it. You're fighting for a lot of corruption a lot of times and humanity and all that, but people have done it to secure liberty for the next generation, and great men in my mind they were. But it isn't nothing compared to the cause that we believe in. An eternal cause to where you'll spend eternity. That's an incredible thing. Have we got it melted down? Resolve's close to dissolved. Where you melt something down to get it down to its base, to get this down to the very base of it, and to think that a man put a sword in his hand and swing it until he couldn't let loose of it. There was an incident in World War II at the Battle of Dunkirk that there was a man, it wasn't that he fought so hard, I think, it was that he was also scared, but they was rescuing these British soldiers off of Dunkirk, and they tried to get this one soldier to get him on the boat and trying to rescue him out of there, and they got him, and he had a rifle in his hand, and they was just discarding the rifle, get out of there. Didn't the rifle didn't do no good, didn't have no shells and wasn't shooting at nothing anyway. Tried to get the rifle out of his hand, and they pried and pulled and everything. They couldn't pull that rifle. His hands had so locked onto that they couldn't get that. They couldn't pry. You hear the expression, it'll take your guns away, well, you'll pry it out of my cold dead. They couldn't pry that gun out of his hands. He had it so tightly. His resolve to hold on to that was so strong, he linked into it, and they couldn't even get his hands loose, and so locked in there, and they just let him go on with it because he couldn't get it loose. Folks, we need some resolve about some things. We want to hold on to something to no matter what it is, no matter what this world does, I mean to go on. Lord, help us. This is the challenge of our time, folks, is to endure. It's the challenge of our time to make it all the way. Another scripture, another familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians. Thirteenth verse says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, and be strong." Quit ye like men. Well, I'm going to have to find out how a man quits. To fulfill this scripture, I'm going to have to find out how he quits. How does a man quit? How does he quit, Brother Ivan? Quit ye like men, then means he don't quit. He don't quit until he gets to the end. That's when he quits. He gets a hold of something and he keeps pulling. So blisters won't keep you from pulling. How does a man quit? You know, I was working at a sawmill one time and I was at where I worked at the time. And the position that I worked was there was a clash of generations there. There was a clash of generations. And I worked with these old guys that grew up in the timber industry. I'm talking back in the hard days of the timber industry. These are old men that come through the time of timbering and time when depression and time when times were hard. One day there was a young man, he's a good bit younger than me, and I was young. Big, strong, healthy guy. He come down. He worked in the woods, and we was working at the mill. And the guy came down, and he had he's holding his hand. And they said, "Well, what are they out of the woods for? They should be in the woods bringing the logs in. What are they doing down here?" Well, this guy got he was used these steel cables, chucker cables for the logs, and this was a common thing. They break and peel off, and then you run them into your finger. And he had a piece of steel cable, just a one strand, stuck through his finger like that. And he's like that. And the old man, the old guy there, he was our sawyer. He's what sawed the logs. He's saying, "Well, what happened to him?" And he said, "He's got a piece of cable in his finger." And he was like, "A piece of cable in his finger? Did he ever think of pulling it out?" And he's like, "What's he doing?" And they said, "Well, I'm going to take him to the emergency room." And that old guy, "Is he going to do what?" He said, "Well, he's going to take him to the emergency room, get that cable out of his finger." And he said, this is what he said to me, "He's going to miss work for that?" He said, "Just pull it out." Said, "I got some pliers." Said, "Just pull it out." Said, "Stick your hand down in a diesel fuel for a few minutes." And said, "It won't even get sore." Said, "There's no use in missing work over it." Said, "What would he do that for?" Well, he ended up going to the emergency room, get it took out, bandaged his finger up, and done all that. And the old guy just said, "This generation, whoa, what in the world? What, stop like that? Never get anything done. Never get anything done." Well, you make up your own mind about stories I tell. But if that's all you're going to, if that's what it whittles down the way you're going to serve the Lord, you're in trouble. You're in trouble if it whittles down to that's all that I can do. And I say, that's how easy it is for me to quit. The job that I had to do is to get a little back set or something's going to be sore or something hurts a little bit. Then it's a big trouble. We need to have a resolve in our hearts and minds that I'm not quitting. Pain ain't going to do it. Well, don't assume that you're not going to have it. Assume that you're going to have pain. Assume that you're going to have back set. I'll even say this. Assume that there'll be people that don't like you. Now, if a likable fella as I am, you wouldn't think anybody could not like me. There's people that just plain don't like me. Maybe I ain't as likable as I think I am. But there's people that just plain don't like me, and they just look and see me before they ever know me and don't like me. That's just the way it is, folks. Resolve yourself down. You're going to serve the Lord anyway. And you know what that means? If they don't like you, you're going to like them anyway. They ain't going to talk to you. Talk to them anyway. You're going to have to resolve yourself. I'm going to live like Christ. No matter what they do, because there are going to be influences trying to draw you away from living for the Lord the way you ought to, unless you have a real firm resolve and quit you like men.
Quit you like men means that I got all of this. I'm not letting loose of it. Not till I see the payday. Not till I see the end of it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Another scripture comes to mind. Jesus said some things and some of His disciples walked no more with Him. Hard saying, they said. Hard saying. You're laying something on us here. It's a hard saying. Who can understand that? Or, probably better said, who can live such a thing? How are you going to expect us to do something like that? What are you going to do with that? So He says to His disciples, you go away also? They left because of what I told them. Would you go away also? And Peter said, with what I think is just resolve. Did Peter do everything right? Nope. He didn't do everything right. Made a lot of mistakes. Thought he was things that he wasn't. Thought he could do things that he couldn't. But he had resolve. And he said, to whom would we go? Got to whittle down here. Got to whittle down to one thing. There's only one person with the words of eternal life. And it's you. Got it? The other influences that come, what you say, how you saying it, you say hard things, and maybe I did get offended. Maybe that did hurt me. Maybe that was a hard thing. But there's only one way to eternal life. And you got it, Lord. And I am determined by the help of the Lord to have that kind of a resolve in my life. Got it mounted down to a single idea and a single purpose that I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to keep going no matter what. And the idea that a good man or a righteous man falls 7 times, it's not bad because he falls. He's good because he gets up. He falls 7 times and he rises again. So I'm not going to say today there ain't going to be pitfalls and falls and mistakes and errors and all that. I'm just saying I'm resolved to go on. Got it down that there's only one thing in this life for me and this is it. This is what I aim to do. I'm going to follow the Lord. Lord, what do You want me to do in this? How do You want me to do it? Quit you like men was also expressed one time to the Philistines. Said Philistine, to Philistines, the Israelites are going to get you. You're going to be servants to the Israelites and Philistines. And said, told the Philistines, you quit like men now. You go fight them Israelites and you quit like men because they're going to be fighting hard too. The idea of fighting, quitting like man is universal. It goes to everything that you do. If you want to accomplish it, you don't let a little bit of something stop you. Now, I've told this story many times. It was impressive to me as a young man. Very young. I mean, young boy. Maybe just first grade young. There was a big old boulder behind where the man that built our house, Dad bought it from the man, but we lived there. But when he went to build the house, there wasn't a day of equipment much back in. Those guys didn't use equipment, so it was all hand done. And he built a house up on a hillside, and he had to level it by hand. So he dug out the area, and he went into that big rock. He couldn't move it. So he just built the house up against it. So the rock is right up against the back side of the house. And he couldn't move it out, so he left it there. Well, when Dad gets the house after a while, the rain would hit the rock and splash against the house all the time. Didn't do the house any good. So my dad ends up saying he's going to move that rock out of there. And the only way to move it out of there was with a hammer. And so my dad gets a hammer, and this was my dad. And I appreciated it about Dad. There's a lot of lessons in this. But my dad got on top of that big boulder. I mean, it was big. And got his sledgehammer and gets up on top of that and starts pounding it day after day. And his testimony was sometimes he would hit that thing and hit it and hit it and it wouldn't do anything but a little bit of sand bounce off of it. And just ring the hammer. But he'd keep hitting it until just now he'd hear a crack. And he'd pound and he'd pound and he'd pound it. And every day we would come home and our job was to pick up the fragments in the 5-gallon buckets, and they take them off. And our job was to pick them up. And every day we'd come back, and there'd be more and more and more. And my dad pounded that rock out of there, completely out of there. He broke it up into pieces that you could move, and we packed it out of there. And that was such a lesson because he didn't let a sore hand stop him. He didn't stop the idea that it wasn't going to break. It just ain't happening. I mean, if I have to hit it that many times, it ain't worth it. Folks, listen, I have done that in my life so many times that I've said I'm going to do something and then get into it and say, I bit off more than I could chew.
So I remember that one time. I was 18 years old, 20 years old or something. I had a car, and I got tired of pulling up to my house and people be parked in the way. So I decided I was going to make me a new parking area in beside the other side of the house. So I went and started digging and shoveling. It was going to be a place there. And I got there, and I ran into a stone about this big. I couldn't pry it out of there, couldn't lift it, couldn't roll it out of there. It was stuck there. And I dug around it and tried to work on it, and then I remembered. My dad, same kind of stone. It was that big. And he busted it out of there. And I said, I'm a man. I'm grown. I can do it. And got the same hammer. Went and started pounding, and boy, I busted the corners off. You know what I'm saying? The corners was busted them all off. Kind of got the rock good and round there and started hitting on it and hitting on it. My hands got sore hitting on it. And I just said, why, that thing ain't going. It's not going to bust. It's not going to break. It's just not going to do it. And I gave it up, and it sat there for a long time. And it was ugly and never did get to pull up in there. And I come home from work one day, pulled in there, and that rock was gone. And I said, what happened to that rock? Dad said, oh, I got tired of seeing it out there, so I moved it. I said, how'd you do that? He said, I got my hammer, and I busted it up. You did for real. You did for real. I quit like a boy. I quit like a boy. If I'd have stood there like my dad and swung that hammer to a bust, it would have been gone by my hand, but it wasn't. And this is saying the same thing to us spiritually, folks. Quit like men. Get some resolve about you. Get some resolve. It's too many times that somebody says, got my feelings hurt. Somebody said something. That's it. That's it. You quit serving the Lord. Quit going to church. Quit dealing with your soul because somebody said something. Are you serious? You really did. You're going to quit serving the Lord because somebody said something. Whoa. Just whoa. Quit you like me and get some resolve. I'm not going to quit serving the Lord no matter what you do, Brother Bobby. Okay? I love Brother Bobby. But I can't let him influence me either. He may say, you shouldn't do that, and the Lord told me I should. I can't depend on all that. It's the resolve. I'm resolved to do it. Got it mounted down that it's the Lord that matters. It's the Lord that matters. In my life, it's the Lord. Don't have it resolved down to a single purpose, single idea. So I'm disappointed with this. I'm disappointed with that. My health's bad. Things are going bad for me. Can't see, can't hear. Things. I am changing. Sister Tammy said, I'm changing. I'll tell you what's changing. You're all a blur. You know what? These reading glasses, no, don't help. You're a blur. I can't fix it. I went to the eye doctor and said, listen, I'm trying something. See if you can do something. He checks my eyes. There ain't nothing wrong with your eyes. You just need reading glasses. I said, I know I got reading glasses, but I can't see back there. Reading glasses don't help in this. Well, you need different stages. Okay, this and up. Look through this side, this side, this side. Try to see it. I can't see you all very well. You're a blur. If you say anything, I can't hear you either. I'm always, huh? What's he saying? Speak up. My wife could testify this. Can't. None of those things. It's changing. I'm changing. But still got resolve. So, I'm having a lot of teeth problems right now. And every time I go to the dentist, and bless their hearts, because I like them and they seem like they're good. But every time I go, they create a problem for me. And just not saying, I'd rather stick with the problem I have than get the one you're going to make me. It's just too hard. I can't trust in that either. Things is changing. Well, if it hurts, it hurts. And those kind of things. But you know what? I don't know the answer. You say, well, why don't you do this, Brother Marty? Or why don't you do that? Some people do the herbal. Sometimes, well, let's just pray it through us. Do this. I don't know. I don't know. But I know what I'm resolved about. I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh, serve the Lord through it. And you might say, I'm confused about this, I'm confused about that. You all do this, you all do that, or this and does this and do that. So, God knows the answers of all of that, folks. And it's for you to find out in the Lord. And you'll find Him to be loving and merciful and kind and real. And you'll find Him to be that way. But you need an absolute resolve. Let it be so. Today, that you allow everything, the influences and things that you allow in your life, family, friends, work, whatever it is, to make an influence on your life, that you allow it to melt down to a single purpose. I'm going to serve the Lord anyway. I'm just going to serve the Lord. Yeah, I'll be kind, I'll be considerate, I'll think of what you say, but I'm going to serve the Lord.
That's the way it's going to be. Many times on jobs, some of the brothers testified, jobs will have things on them sometimes that they'll demand something that you're not willing to do. It happens a lot. It happened to Brother Jim. It happened to a number of brothers I do it. And they said, nope, got resolve in the Lord. Going to serve the Lord anyway. They told Brother Jim White up there, he worked up at the observatory for a year or so, and he told me this story. He said they come to him and said they're changing policies and everybody there is going to have to wear a tie. Brother Jim said he had a conviction. He told him, said, not going to wear a tie. Well, they wanted him there so much that they called him in and said to him, said, I heard that you want, I'm going to give you another chance. Heard that you wouldn't wear a tie on the job. Well, this is policy. You can't really make an exception. Said to him, told Brother Jim, said, well, we'll expect you to wear a tie. And Brother Jim said, not going to do it. Got a conviction. Can't do it. Come around. He said he kept going. After that conversation, he worked 20 years at the observatory and the guy never said another thing. Never said, told him, said, well, if you don't, we'll have to give you your notice. He just kept waiting for his notice. He waited 20 years and retired, waiting for his notice. But he had resolve. He had resolve. Everybody's saying, you're an idiot. You're foolish. With a job's hard to find and you need a job. And he said, it's true. They're telling the truth. I needed it desperately. But I'm going to serve the Lord first. I'm not going to defile my conscience before the Lord, because the Lord's the one that can give me this job to start with. And he held on, and the Lord was able to do it because he had resolve. I'm determined that I'm going to serve the Lord first. And we run into those patterns and things many times in our lives. And you'll have, folks, listen, one of the hardest ones, it's always the closest places that's the hardest. It's the family members, you know, because they just mean more to you. It's just closer in those kind of things. And there's going to be issues always with that in those kind of things. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do the best I can. Serving the Lord first with resolve. All that influence just goes. It's going to have to go. Not that I don't care. Not that I didn't wish it was different. But I can't help it. I'm going to serve the Lord first with a passion and a desire. My little message here this morning is, if you want victory, real victory in your life, an enduring victory, it's going to have to melt it down to it's just a simple concept of, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve the Lord. And if you're mean to me over it, I'm going to serve the Lord, and that's going to make me be sweet to you. Big words, hard to do. But that's the way it works at the end of it. I'm going to serve the Lord and be what He wants to be through all the turmoil of this world. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do and allow the influences and the questioning and everything get down to a very simple idea. None of it matters. Because it really doesn't. All it matters how you can answer them. But it's just the fact of it is, no matter what the answer is, I'm going to serve God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.